All right, we're back at it. Episode 5, Katie.
Episode 5.
That's right. The Crossover Conversations Podcast. We are your hosts, the Wyatts. I'm Devin.
And I'm Katie. Let's go.
Let's do it, Katie. First topic of the night. Are you ready?
Oh, my word. We have a big night, Devin. We do. We got Fitz. We got ships, yeah. As in relationships.
Ooh, okay. I see what you did
and
there.
And, of course, basketball.
That's right. Yeah, we got a lot to discuss.
Yeah. Okay, I'll start.
Okay, yes. Please do. What you got? Okay.
So, first, we need to take a moment of silence.
A moment of silence?
For all of the broken hearts.
Okay.
Both women and men.
Okay.
And well, let me tell you why.
Please do.
Kate Money Martin soft launched a relationship.
Oh, no. Please define what a soft launch is for those of us who don't know
what
that means.
Yeah, okay. Soft, yeah, for like my parents. Okay.
Are you calling me old? What's up with that?
You're an old spirit.
Okay.
So soft launch is when like someone posts a picture of someone and they're looking a little cozy, but no one is like coming out and saying like, hey, this is my girlfriend.
So, okay. So she
or
didn't,
boyfriend. A
so
hard
she didn't
launch.
Make it so she didn't make it 1000% obvious by clearly stating.
Right, but like they were looking cozy.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And so a hard launch would be if someone came out and said, hey, this is my new girlfriend or boyfriend. But anyway, on Sunday, Kate posted an Instagram story of her standing pretty close to another woman. It was a mirror selfie. And I think we've found out that this girlfriend, we think, of Kate's, her name is Claire Grancy, and she also attended Iowa. So we think that's probably where they met.
That checks out. Did she play a sport as well?
Not that we know of.
Okay.
It looks
all
like
right.
She
curious.
Majored in communication studies, and she lives in Boston now.
Okay.
So they're definitely doing a long-distance relationship.
Yeah. Quick question here, though. You seem to know a lot of information. Is this information that was posted along with the cozy picture, or is this you doing some sleuthing work?
Hey, you know this girl's got a LinkedIn, okay?
Okay, all
this
right.
is my bread and butter. Like, let me find as much about you as I can.
Oh, goodness.
But anyway, they looked very happy together, but I know on X or Twitter, there were a lot of very broken-hearted people. I think we all knew.
Understandably
so. We all thought maybe she liked women. I'm not sure of her other relationships, but I think it's pretty safe to say there are probably some men who are disappointed too, because I think Kate Martin is super cute.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, like you
said, there's a lot of disappointment.
Right. Disappointment, but in a good way, I guess you could say.
I guess
or
so.
For her, at least.
I know.
Man.
Well, congrats,
yeah,
Kate.
Congrats to you, Kate Martin. Do your thing. Good luck to you and your girlfriend. If things don't work out, hit me up. Just don't tell Katie.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Hey, the Commissioner's Cup final was this past week.
I know.
It was
a good game.
It was an exciting game. For those of you who haven't been listening or are been hiding under a rock, the Minnesota Lynx play the New York Liberty. There was a little bit of, I don't know if you can call it drama, before the game even started due to the location of the game. For those of you who don't know, the Liberty had the best win percentage in all their Commissioner's Cup games. Therefore, they won the right to host the championship game.
Okay.
And they typically play their home games at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, which is also where the Nets play. But this happened to be the week of the NBA draft, which was also being held at the Barclays Center.
NBA draft 2?
Yeah. So, because of that, they had to move to somewhere. I believe I remember reading somewhere it was like 90 minutes outside of where they normally play.
I want to say it was like Long Island
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, I mean, which, you know, for us down here in Dallas, the distance itself isn't that far. But I know up in the Northeast, you know, a 10-mile difference, you know,
I mean, an hour
is an hour.
Half,
yeah.
Far.
I mean, yeah, it is. And it's a much smaller venue as well. And I think even on TV, you could tell that there was a difference in the number of people there. But anyway, let's get to the results. Minnesota won. They won by 5 points.
I know, which is really wild because the Liberty were up. They were up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, it wasn't like they were up a couple points. It was like it looked like the Liberty had it pretty handily won.
Yeah, for a while I thought they were going to run away with it.
I did too. It was honestly, I mean, I'm so happy for the Lynx. I think that they are just not one of these like super teams in the W. And Cheryl Reeve, who is their coach, the Lynx coach, mm-hmm. she came out before the game and was just like, I know that we are not the sexy team that the Las Vegas Aces are or the New York Liberty, and but we are here and we're ready to play. And I'm just happy for them that it ended up mm-hmm. going their way. But I was asking a lot of questions at the end of that game because I truly know nothing about the Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah, I mean, historically, they have been a pretty good team. There was a stretch where they went to, I believe it was 5 championships in 6 years and won 4 of them. But that's been, I think the last time they were in it was 2018, 17,
yeah,
something like that.
17.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been a couple of years, but yeah, for a while there, they were one of these so-called super teams.
But why does nobody know who they are?
You know, I think so. Are you familiar with Maya Moore?
Yes. Who she only is? Because that's Caitlin Clark's idol.
Okay. Well, I think when Maya Moore retired and left the league, I think they kind of dropped off and kind of, for lack of a better term, fell off the map. And teams like the Las Vegas Aces and the Liberty kind of stacked their rosters with these quote-unquote, you know, super rosters of high-profile athletes. And teams like the Lynx just kind of fell by the wayside. And they're not in one of the biggest markets in the U.S.
That's true.
So they're not getting as much, you know, airtime and publicity as some of these other teams are. So that didn't help them at all either.
Right. Yeah. Well, after the game, I was like, okay, clearly the Lynx are good. They won the Commissioner's Cup. Mm-hmm. They're saying, hey, look at us now. We just beat a super team. And so I was like, okay, I want to learn more about this team.
What did you find out? Because I'm interested.
Yeah. So, I mean, you already kind of stole some of my thunder.
Oh, my
they
bad.
No. So they've won four, what do you call it, national championships. 2011.
That would be college. They just call it the finals.
I think they call it the WNBA championships.
Oh,
but okay.
Whatever.
2011, 2013, 2015, and 2017. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, within the last 15 years, they've won 4, and there are 12 teams.
Yeah,
so like that's pretty good.
There was a decade where, essentially, a decade where they were the team to beat.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Just because, I don't know, they just don't get that much recognition. But so they've been coached by Cheryl Reeve since 2010. So I think that this is their 14th season under her leadership. She is interesting because she has won Coach of the Year several times. Uh-huh. But she only hires all-female coaching staff.
Really?
Which,
interesting.
I mean, I kind of love. I feel like people are going to spin that out of context, but yeah. I love that. I think it's cool. So she is also, I learned recently, she is the USA Women's Olympic basketball coach.
Yeah.
She is the head coach for that.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. So she should be a household name.
You would think.
Like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh yeah. I agree.
Something else, I wanted to look at some of the players because, like we were saying, I just don't feel like they have some of these big name players that some of the other teams have.
Right. They don't have anybody on a CarMax commercial or a Gatorade commercial or an Allstate commercial.
Or that we know of,
well,
you
yeah,
know, because we could
uh-huh.
see someone and just have no idea who it is.
That?
But I think that the most notable player on that team is going to be Nafisa Collier.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So a couple weeks back, we talked about this unrivaled league that Breanna Stewart and Nafisa Collier are putting together.
Yeah, the 3-on-3 league, right?
The 3-on-3 league should start in 2025. So at that time, I had no idea who Nafisa Collier was. I think that was pretty obvious. But now I know who she is, and I'm rocking with her.
So you were one of those people that had no idea who the Lynx were or knew anything about them, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's why I had to do all this publicity. Research.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's exactly my point. So I wanted to learn about Nafisa Collier. So she went to UConn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know exactly when she was there, but she was picked 6th overall in the 2019 WNBA draft.
Okay, so pretty good in college.
Yes.
Safe to say.
Yes, and she went to the Summer Olympics in Tokyo in 2020.
Oh, wow.
So she is going to be on the Olympic team again, and this is her second time.
Yep.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
And she's a mom. She's a mom of a 2-year-old.
Really? I didn't know
So, yeah, and so she's a 3-time WNBA All-Star. She was the Commissioner's Cup MVP this year, okay?
Yep.
And she was actually Rookie of the Year.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So she's got quite a few accolades to her name. You're right. It does surprise me that she isn't more of a household name. I can't think of any reason why, other than maybe she's just not as outspoken,
flashy.
Yeah, flashy maybe the right word.
I don't know. Let's make her a household name though.
Yeah, for real. Hey, everybody, go online right now, like, follow everything that she has on social media. I'm assuming she has a social media because who doesn't these days? Maybe write an email to Target since they're like the big corporation in Minnesota and get her on a Target commercial or something like that.
She might be. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, it was fun to learn. And give that team the proper recognition.
Yeah.
I will say it felt a little bit disappointing because the Lynx came off of this super hot win on Sunday, only to turn around and play the Wings.
That's right, hometown Wings.
Dallas Wings, a noon game here in Dallas, and they lost to the Dallas Wings, who I'm pretty sure is sitting at like last in the league right now.
Yep. They're pretty bad.
I think.
Still love you guys, though.
Yeah. The Wings are 4-13, and the Lynx are 13-4.
Mm-hmm.
So that felt a little disappointing to come off such a
exciting
win.
Yeah, they were just so hype after the game. They maybe partied a little too hard. They got that $500,000 check in the bank account.
Maybe. I don't think that's any excuse. It's just, I guess that's somewhat of some of the draw maybe in the WNBA. I feel like the games can really go
either way on any night.
And I do
like think, look at tonight, for instance.
Yeah. Okay. Give me a second
Sorry.
To talk.
Sorry.
So, I think that in the end, the better teams end up on top, right? Like
yes.
I think they end up higher in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was getting at is that, like this evening, we saw Atlanta and Connecticut play.
Mm-hmm.
Connecticut's a great team. Atlanta's sitting near the bottom.
Right.
And Atlanta won. Mm-hmm. And so it just feels like week after week, these girls go hard no matter who they're playing. And some of these teams, even when they're down a bunch, they're still trying really hard. But anyway, I just think that's some of the draw of the WNBA. They only play, 42 games during the season?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they can give 100% or close to it, the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And shoot, this year, because of the Olympics, I feel like they almost have two seasons.
Yeah, right.
They have some time. Obviously, the Olympic team is going to be worn out. But anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, lots of interesting things
there. There's the Minnesota Lynx.
Thanks for doing that research. I appreciate that.
It was fun.
Yeah, I think the other big game or biggest game of the week was a Sky Fever rematch from the week prior. They played like almost back-to-back,
Another incredible game.
And I think my last prediction of saying that this game was going to have more views came true, but barely.
Yeah.
They squeaked by with 2.3 million average views with a 3.3 million peak viewage, which is about 300,000 or so more than their first matchup. So they broke the record again for most views, but barely.
Right. Well, I mean, That doesn't surprise me.
No, I mean, it was another good game. Came down to the wire, 1-point win by the Sky.
I know, and I feel like the Fever really had a couple chances to win at the end, mm-hmm. and that's what made it exciting. And ultimately, I mean, the Sky played better. I just don't.
Yep.
I actually think they played better than just winning by 1 point. But
I would agree.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty frustrating game for the Fever, but on to the next.
Yeah, and Angel Reese had yet another double-double.
I know. I think she's at 9 consecutive double-doubles.
Yep, I was about to say she had another game this middle of the week, and yeah, she's at 9 consecutive double-doubles, continues to break the record with every game she plays for rookie double-doubles.
Yeah, I think, man, I don't feel... I don't feel like Caitlin's a shoe-in for Rookie of the Year.
I was literally about to say, at this point...
It's a hard argument.
Yep, I was about to say, at this point, if Angel Reese didn't win Rookie of the Year, I think it would be the biggest snub. I'm not going to say of all time, but it would be a massive snub.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And you know what other award she should be in the running for?
What?
Best Dressed.
Best Dressed, you
or
think
most,
so?
Most... attention, I guess, okay. Given to her.
I'll give you that. When I am sitting here on the weekend and I get a text from a coworker who is not a women's basketball fan by any means, texting me a tweet with her pregame outfit in
yeah, it. Yeah, you know it's getting some attention.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I know it's getting some attention. Yeah. And it was very...
it caught your eye.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, let me just speak for you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
You could get
that.
In a little bit of trouble if you go too far. But so on Sunday, she wore a like strappy leather top and like a strappy mini skirt. Mm-hmm. Her body is insane. It was very like warrior princess of her.
Good comparison there.
I mean, her body is just beautiful. And she's beautiful too. I think then a couple days later when they played the Aces, she wore a Tom Ford, like it was either a bandeau or like a sports bra with an oversized jacket and a mini skirt. The thing that I feel like she's done the last couple games for her outfits, she's worn these kind of like baggy or thick boots, which I am sure those are fashionable, and I'm sure there's some like high profile brand, but my feet start sweating as soon as I see her wearing those, and it's probably because it's 100 degrees in Texas, mm-hmm. and it's probably way nicer where she's at, but yeah, it's been fun to watch her, and her shoes have been very cool. Yeah. She rocked some Juneteenth shoes not too long ago. I guess it was the Fever game.
We're talking about on-court shoes, right?
On-court shoes. Okay. Yep, yes. Yeah. No, because her pregame, like I said, she's kind of done this like boot trend. Yep. And
she had some Barbie shoes a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I know she had some Joker shoes. Yep. It seems like there are stories behind her shoes too, which I always think mm-hmm. is cool.
Do you think, sort of on the same topic, but I don't want to steal your thunder here, but do you think that some of these players have endorsement deals with more higher fashion brands or get dressed by people in these more higher fashion brands?
No, 100% okay. They do.
That's kind of what it looks like to me.
I've been seeing Caitlin Clark is actually styled each week by a company.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. But it makes sense.
Which is interesting, too, because I was looking at the Fever's tunnel looks, and it's like maybe 9 out of 12 players come in their sweats.
Yeah.
You know? And so it is just interesting to see kind of who gets into it. But, you know, fashion and beauty brands want in on the WNBA. Mm-hmm. You start seeing their commercials and... Yeah. The players sporting them in their Instagram yep. posts.
I think it's a smart move for these brands. I mean, they're, by doing this, reaching an audience that I don't think they typically would reach.
Right. Oh, yeah. So players are turning to stylists to source looks from these high-end fashion brands. And I think they're building relationships with different just agents and designers and So
yeah, it's interesting to see. I feel like the WNBA is making this more public of going away from your traditional sports athletic brands for a lot of things on and off court. You know, your typical Nikes, Adidas, whatever. I mean, they announced earlier in the year Skims is like the official underwear of the WNBA, whatever that means. That's not a Nike, Adidas. I don't even know what Skims is, to be honest with you.
It's Kim Kardashian's brand.
Oh, well,
that's
there you
all
go.
I really
so
know about
the,
it.
The rich are getting richer type of deal.
I mean, if she makes a good product, you can't blame people.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I'm pretty sure Skims was the official underwear for the last Olympic team.
Oh, really?
United States Olympic team. So yeah, that's a whole other thing, but it is cool. Just watching these players be creative, and also they're probably getting paid through some of these brands,
yeah,
which they deserve. And like, let's capitalize on that,
oh,
you
yeah.
know?
100%.
I will be honest. I'm not super into Caitlin Clark's looks. I'm a little disappointed with them.
Really?
They've just been kind of blah. And I know she's wearing some high fashion brands, but like, if you're looking at the Reddit posts, they're not talking about Caitlin Clark. They're talking about Angel Reese, of course. They're talking about Asia Wilson. They're talking about Breonna Stewart. But yeah, Caitlin's not really the one to look out for. I know she's wearing Prada and she must have some sort of partnership
Prada
with them, but right.
Interesting. Well, going from one All-Star to another, All-Star voting ends this weekend, tomorrow actually, which is Saturday the 29th, is the last day for fan votes, and then the WNBA will officially announce the All-Star team on the 2nd, so this coming week.
Oh man, they're going to make us wait?
Yeah, I know.
I guess they have to, because they're
right,
probably
because
getting the other 50%.
Yeah, I was about to say, yep, they got the media votes
the vote.
And the player votes. Yep. But here's a stat that I thought was interesting. So Asia Wilson, as of right now, has the most fan votes.
And these are stats from what was released like 10 days ago.
Correct. Okay. Yep. The absolute current stats we don't have. But yes, this is based on the last stats that they released to us. Asia Wilson had the most fan votes with roughly 218,000 fan votes, which is a lot. She also, at the end of voting last year, had the most fan votes, but it was only 95,000. So there was a massive jump in the number of people voting for All-Star this year, which just tells me that, again, more proof, there are more eyes on the WNBA this year, which is great.
Yeah, for sure.
And then number two so far this year was Caitlin Clark at 216,000, a little bit over 216,000,
right,
actually.
Pretty close. I think a lot of people are talking about how they'd love to see Caitlin and Angel play together. They have played each other, obviously, in college. They played each other in AAU, which you can tell me the acronym for that. What is AAU?
American Athletic Union.
Say it louder.
American Athletic Union.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what that is, except for it sounds like it's just like elite basketball. But they played each other there. They played each other in college a couple times.
Amateur Athletic Union, sorry, not American.
Okay. And then now, of course, in the professionals, but they have never played together.
Wow.
And so
even on like a Team USA U16 or something?
No.
Really?
Yes.
That surprises me.
So a lot of people are talking about how fun that would be. I really feel like they'd be incredible forces
together. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be tough for a defense to guard that. You got to have to pick up Caitlin Clark at half court or else she's going to throw up a shot. But then also you can't ignore the paint either or else Angel Reese is going to destroy you. So that's tough.
Another matchup actually that's been discussed is DaWanna Bonner and Alyssa Thomas. So we've talked a little bit about them.
Mm-hmm.
They play for the Connecticut Sun.
Yep.
They are engaged.
Oh, I didn't know they were engaged. I thought they were DaWanna, just dating.
DaWanna Bonner is the twin mom.
Right.
So I'm always going to root for her. But Alyssa Thomas is on the Olympic team.
Oh, and
DaWanna
not.
Bonner has gotten quite a few votes. And so people are just saying, you know, it'd be really fun to see them go head-to-head.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Huh. Yeah, I'd watch that. I mean, I'm going to watch the All-Star game either way just because I think it's going to be interesting to see Team USA play our All-Stars or what's left of them that aren't on Team USA.
I think it's going to be amazing.
I hope it's a close game. That's all I hope. I hope it's enjoyable to watch and not a blowout either way.
Right. I think Yeah, I just think it's going to get this narrative of like superstar vets versus rookies when really there will probably be two, maybe three rookies on the All-Star team. And so I want the vets on the All-Star team to also feel like,
Like they deserve it and they should be there
right.
and
And it's not just this narrative of rookies versus
I agree.
All-Star vets who are on the Olympic team.
Yes, I 100% agree. Speaking of Team USA All-Star, kind of along that lines, did you see that they named a replacement for Cameron Brink?
Who's that?
D'Erica Hamby, who also happens to be an LA Sparks
Oh,
player.
amazing. I
So,
bet Cameron is so happy that her fellow teammate
oh, she's
is
got
on
to
the
be, right?
team.
Right. If you, I mean, obviously she wishes she was there, but if she can't be there, then you got to think that, in her mind, the next best thing is that someone that she's close with on her team would be there in her place.
I'm pretty sure I saw that D'Erica Hamby is a mom too.
Really, man, there are a lot of moms in the WNBA. I didn't
I
realize that.
know. One of these days we've got to interview someone who can talk to us about motherhood and playing in the
Yeah,
professionals.
anybody who's listening that has an in, I'm calling on you to make this happen.
Let us know.
Yeah, hit me
So,
up.
what about speaking of 3-on-3, what about Ryan Howard? Isn't she hurt?
Yeah, she's hurt. I don't know what her injury is, but I heard or read somewhere that it sounds to me at least like she's basically resting in the WNBA right now and not coming back to try to make it to the Olympics.
Got it.
Like kind of like one of those things where she could probably come back in a week or two if she really wanted to, if the Olympics weren't going on, but she's taking it pretty cautious so that she doesn't mess things up and not make the Olympic team. Which is understandable. I get that.
Okay. Yeah, I wish they would tell us a little bit more, but I guess these articles are saying she could still participate because the Olympics aren't for another month. July 26th is when that starts. So, I hope she makes it.
Yeah, I almost wonder if it's something like a hamstring strain or
I think
a high ankle
they're
sprain
saying
or
left ankle
Oh, okay,
injury,
there you go. Yeah,
but
maybe like a high
that's, I
ankle sprain
mean,
or something
super
like that.
broad.
Yeah. Huh. This is somewhat related to Olympics. There was a the FIBA Asian tournament was going on this past week. Did you see the Chinese player that was in like every media outlet?
I saw, but I read nothing about
Yeah,
it.
so there's this Chinese player. She's 17 years old. She's on the Chinese national team. And I guess it's the first time she's made an appearance. She came off the bench, but she's 7'3". It is the big
Wow.
takeaway. Yeah, 7'3" Chinese, 17-year-old on the women's national team. They're comparing her to Yao Ming, which makes sense. Yao Ming, I don't know if you know, but he was the big, tall Chinese player playing
Yes, I
WNBA
know
or
Yao
not the,
Ming.
yep,
I think
played in
he
the
played
NBA.
for the Rockets for
He
a
did.
second.
Well, that's the only team he played for, but yeah.
Oh, okay. For longer than a
Yeah.
second.
Yeah. But she came off the bench. She scored a perfect 9 for 9 from the field. That's pretty good percentage there. She had 7 rebounds, a couple of assists, a couple blocks, a couple steals. So,
So, is she eligible to play on the Olympic team, or do you have to be 18?
there is no age restriction for the Olympic team. There is for the WNBA, though. So I guess she could be on their Olympic team. I don't know if she will be since she came off the bench in this. I don't know
Oh,
if they're
I
gonna.
see. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, she's 17 years old. So
Got
I mean,
it.
she's still young, still developing. Basically, right now, the thing she has going for her is that she's, so much taller than everybody else.
I know.
But.
I did. I really, I didn't look into her at all, but I did see the video, and she does. She
She towers
towers.
over them.
She
Yeah.
does, which I know that's a huge basketball benefit, but more often I think about how that affects her, like socially and mentally, and
Yeah. I mean, it would be
anyway.
tough. It's got to be, right?
Totally.
Especially in a country not known for having super tall people.
Yeah,
That's got to
for
be tough. I mean, you
sure.
know she's going to stick out anywhere she goes. That's got to be tough. Let's talk about upcoming games. I think this weekend will be the biggest matchup of the week, actually. And that's going to be the Fever taking on the Mercury. It's in Phoenix. It's the only time that Phoenix, or sorry, that what's their names?
The Fever.
Fever. Sorry, thank you. That the Fever will be in Phoenix this year, and I think the big thing that people are talking about is the fact that Diana Taurasi kind of made some comments prior to the draft and whatnot that some people didn't like. They were Caitlin Clark fans, and so they're kind of getting their matchup, so to speak.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, too, a couple of other games, just quickly. The Lynx and the Liberty play again on Tuesday. And so it's a little bit of a rematch, so that should be interesting. And then the Fever and Aces play on Tuesday as well. That, I think, is just going to be more of a fun game with Caitlin and Kate going head-to-head once again.
Yeah, yeah. This is their third time, something like that?
Nope, second time.
Second time. Yeah. Well, should be interesting. We'll have to watch it all. We'll keep you guys updated. Come back next week with a lot more content. Thanks again for listening to the podcast, guys. We all appreciate it. This is the Crossover Conversations Podcast. We're the Wyatts, your hosts. I'm Devin.
And I'm Katie.
Thanks again for watching. You guys have a good one.